Your scripture reading this morning is Matthew 18, 1 through 4. Matthew 18, 1 through 4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven."
Good morning. It's a pleasure, as always, to be with you and to see you all again and to worship with you. It's a beautiful day and a wonderful time of year, especially if you're a school teacher, as I am. It's that very, very special time of year where we're getting close to the end of the school year. And I know that it comes up a lot in my sermons that I talk about, you know, what I do, but it's, you know, that's the experience that I live in. And a lot of times, you know, things come to me and it's easy to relate to something that I spend so much time in. And, there's a lot of connections, that I see in that. And that definitely is going to come through today. We're going to be speaking about, you know, children and what Christ said and then the scripture that we heard read. It definitely is mid-May in school, and you can kind of feel it. Maybe it's not the best time to be reflective. No, I'm just kidding. It's definitely, you know, teachers get to that point in the year, just as kids do, where, well, you just feel like you need a breath. So, we're ready for a break. I really wanted to think this morning about children and what Christ said here. Jesus taught us to become like little children. And in fact, he said that unless we turn and become like little children, we will never enter the kingdom of God. And that is a very powerful statement. And so this morning I wanted to think, I mean, there's lots of ways that we could think about attributes and characteristics of children that we ought to have. But specifically, Christ here mentions humility. And so I wanted to mostly think about humility with you this morning, and specifically in relation to children. So in the passage we just read, Matthew 18, the first four verses, the disciples, you know, the context of this is the disciples asking, you know, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And perhaps the answer would have stunned them because he brings a child. And it's an interesting question to ask. It doesn't come off very well, you know, to be asking who is the greatest. It's kind of an inherently sort of conceited thing to be seeking after. And please note that Christ does say there's a word here that I don't think we should lose in verse 3. "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children." So there was some aspect of change, some aspect of repentance that the disciples needed to have. And so there was something in their attitude that needed changed. I think it's only natural that we would want to know what that is, that we seek after that as well. The disciples were operating under the impression that we see that, and we kind of talked about it a little bit in the adult Bible class this morning, about their perception that, you know, the Son of God would come and it would be more of like an earthly kingdom, and that there would be some you know, government, you know, establishment, and that's what the kingdom would be. And so maybe they were thinking that there would be some type of offices or hierarchy. And even in Mark 9, the disciples were arguing about which of them would be the greatest. And when Jesus asked them what they were arguing about, they kind of became embarrassed and didn't want to say. Because again, it's kind of an arrogant thing to want to know where you stand and to be the greatest and to have some type of special place. And so Jesus taught them in Mark 9, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. So Christ points to the humility of children specifically as being something that we need to have in order to enter the kingdom of God. And children, by and large, they understand the natural order. And that's not that, you know, they don't test authority. It's not that they don't make mistakes or anything like that. But you don't see a lot of children trying to usurp the authority of their parents, of feeling that they are higher than their parents, that they're in charge of their parents. Maybe that happens when they become teenagers. I don't know. I guess, you know, I'll find out someday, Lord willing. But they kind of understand that authority. And I was struck as I was, thinking about this, maybe just how much that's kind of been lost. And there may not be a whole lot of people out there who think that children should be independent of their parents or equal with their parents. I mean, you can certainly find people who say that kind of thing. But it just feels like there's this growing belief that, you know, children can make decisions on their own. And that they don't need guidance, that, they're their own person, and that they should have, you know, some kind of autonomy. And it just seems like we've kind of gone further and further toward, validating and affirming everything that, you know, a child wants and their choices and beliefs instead of, you know, correcting them, instead of guiding them, instead of using our wisdom as older people to try to guide them to the truth. There is, you know, just this natural order that we have from God in the family, where the parents can guide and direct the children. And I think children kind of get that. They kind of understand that. And in the same sense, we are children of God. He is our authority. And yet, so many people, they don't live that. They don't respect that. It's like children trying to boss around their parents and tell their parents what is best. And so many people have kind of lived their lives that way towards God, that no one is going to tell them what to do, what is right in their life. No book is going to tell them how they should live. And, you know, we maybe, as an aside, think ourselves, like, how would little children do without the guidance of adults? And what kind of choices would they make? How would they end up left to their own devices? I think we can agree it probably wouldn't turn out very well. And in the same way, when man tries to ignore the guidance and direction of God, look at how we end up when we don't listen to our Heavenly Father. We have to be humble enough to be fully obedient and respect the authority that God has in our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, we read, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Here we see a statement by Peter, and I really, that's such a kind of a vivid language of, like, clothing yourself in humility. And that really, it's just striking that it's like becomes who you are. You just totally envelop yourself in that humility. And so it's not only talking about humility, but specifically about people who are younger. And again, we kind of see that relationship of, you know, children to their elders of being humble, being respectful. And in the same way, we as children of God, being humble toward Him. And then I don't want to leave out the next two verses in 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. So there again we see that connection between children and parents and us toward our Heavenly Father. And, you know, I really kind of respond when it mentions, you know, casting your anxieties on Him, because that's something that, you know, we really struggle with. We struggle with anxiety sometimes, and it can plague us. But God, our Heavenly Father, has taught us to be humble and to cast our anxieties onto Him. So not only being humble in, you know, our view of God and accepting that He is our Creator and our authority, but also humble in thought and humble in action. In Matthew 11:25, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." And again, thinking about the way that we can be like children, that is favorable in God's sight. Here, Christ says that things have been revealed to children, that the wise and understanding had been hidden from. What a fascinating, you know, teaching. Children may not be as experienced to gain that wisdom, but they're also not always clouded by some of their experiences as well. Maybe it's a fresh and open heart that we see in children that we need to have. One time I heard a person who was a skeptic and a professed atheist that, you know, talking about the claims of God and creation and all that extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. And he was saying that in terms of, you know, all these people who are trying to, you know, teach about God and about the Bible, that, you know, they don't have these extraordinary evidences that would justify believing in a God. And, you know, I disagree with that, of course, on the face. I think we do have extraordinary evidences. I'm not going to get into all of it right now, but it just kind of goes back to that humility of, you know, not being open-hearted to what the truth is. And just being so, and kind of using, and he even kind of spoke about like his experiences, you know, not seeing all of these evidences. And it was almost like his experiences had clouded the truth for him. Because God was something that he didn't think he had seen. And so, and thinking of all of his experiences, he's like, all of these experiences I have, and I haven't seen God. That was kind of his mindset. And it's interesting to me that it really is kind of an arrogant thought to think that, you know, your experiences and what you've seen, just such a microscopic amount of what we know and see that we've experienced, that, you know, we can draw these grand conclusions from it in the face of God who has revealed things to us. Adults have lived experience, but it also makes it easier for older people to kind of forget that there is so much that is out there that we don't see, that we don't know, that we haven't experienced. To be as a child is to recognize that there's a lot out there that you don't know, and to be open-hearted to the truth, and to believe in things, to believe in God. And it also says that God has hidden these spiritual things from the wise. Now, I think we kind of know that the phrasing of that is not that God is deliberately trying to hide things from certain people or giving preference to some people over others. But, you know, that phrasing, when God allows something to happen, and sometimes said that he did it himself, he allows people to ignore the truth. He has given us that freedom. And so many of the, you know, what might be called wise and educated in this world are the same ones who, you know, are so far from the truth. And if we think about, you know, academia, you know, my not that I have a lot of experience in higher education, I went to college, but I mean, my impression is that most of what you hear, most of what you receive from college professors in the sciences, it's not the truth. And so the wise and the people who have, you know, large degrees and doesn't always mean that you have the truth. It doesn't always mean that you have humbled yourself to accept things that are beyond what you can fully comprehend. We are created. And there is an elegant truth that is very profound in that. But you have to have the humility to accept it, to accept that we are just a creation, that we are not the highest form of life in this universe. Making yourself the authority in your life may feel empowering, but ultimately it is false and destructive. So we must come to the truth with the open-mindedness of a child, eager to learn and full of acknowledgement that there is a lot that we may not fully understand. And then I wanted to just speak for a moment about not only having the humility of a child, but also the innocence. In Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to start in verse 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disrupting, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. What a beautiful statement, to be blameless, to be innocent, like children to God, even in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. The world has a lot of twisted and crooked things in it. And I appreciate, you know, again, something that was mentioned in the adult Bible class. I wish that we could say that, you know, children aren't exposed to those kind of things. That when it's speaking about the innocence that children have, I wish that that was more true. I'm in a public school, and you know, I teach 9 and 10 year olds, and sometimes there'll be things that are said, things that they know about, things that they've experienced, that children should, well, no one really, but children especially, should not be subjected to. Things that they should not see, hear, or know, things that they should not be able to reference. Society, the sense of decency, of righteousness, it doesn't feel like it's in a good place. And I think we need to really do our best as Christians to not be desensitized to that, to not kind of fall into that, and to do our best to protect the innocence of our children. And of course, not just our children, but ourselves, because we are taught to be blameless and innocent. We are to be like children, and that's the way we hope that our children can be. So we need humility, and we need innocence. And just one more quick point before we kind of close out. is to be forgiven. And there's this kind of innocence in that too, I think, in being forgiven. Children, one of the things that just I love about kids and it amazes me is, you know, the kids can be upset with one another and then 8 seconds later, it's over. And I'm just so impressed by that. Adults aren't always like that. You know, if somebody wrongs you as an adult, it's hard to forget that. It's hard to move on. You know, it's something that lingers with us and it affects that relationship. If we allow it, it can affect that relationship for a long time, if not forever. But children just let things go. And honestly, I even see that as a teacher. Like there are students that, you know, I'll have to discipline, I'll have to redirect, and they don't like get upset with me usually. It's just like, oh yeah, and then they're just right back to telling me a story. And I really, like, I admire that. Like I wish if somebody, you know, has to redirect me or there's any kind of conflict or tension that I just snap right back and it's over with. I think there's something really special about that in children. And as I said, I think we need it. We must be forgiving like that because the measure that we use will be used back on us. And I know I need as much forgiveness as I can get, so I hope that I can be like that as well. Have you ever thought about or wanted to be a kid again? I mean, I think about that sometimes. I'm not saying that I want to go back. There's a lot of stuff that I've gone through since then that I don't really want to have to go through again. But it's just, there's so many fond things I have about being a kid. You know, that innocence, that just feeling carefree. I was very, very blessed to grow up in a great household where I was taught the truth, and I had my mother and father, and they loved me. And I felt protected. I felt secure. I felt safe. I didn't have worries or cares. It was, there was just something about that was really special. And, you know, that'll always kind of be a piece of me. And that feeling of just being a kid. I want to share with you one last verse. John chapter 1 and verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Getting to heaven someday, and I don't want to, you know, paint an inaccurate picture, but in a way, I kind of feel like it's becoming a kid again. That security that you felt, being free from the cares of the world and the destruction of sin, and you know all the things that adults we have to face. Heaven, being with our Heavenly Father, will be like being His children, being protected, being safe, being secure in Him, casting all the cares of life, the anxieties that we have on Him. And I pray and look forward for that day. If you do not feel that you are a child of God, you've never put Him on in baptism, we can help you with that this morning. If you've done that, but you need the prayers of the church, you want to come back to Him in humility and in love, we stand ready to help you in any way that we can. If you'll come forward as together we stand and sing.